Philippians chapter 4, we're going to continue on. This is going to be several weeks that I'll be teaching on this, but just hitting the different aspects. The purpose, we're going to look at today, the purpose of giving. What is the purpose? We're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. The week before last, before we had the stall cups here, we started this in Sunday school, what we have, what we've seen is, why should we give? First of all, to honor God. Thankfulness for what He has done for us. We understand that God owns everything. We come into the right perspective that truly God owns everything. Giving proves the sincerity of our love for God. And then the next thing is, it helps us develop attributes of God, which is giving, because God was the first giver, if you want to look at that aspect of it. He gave His only begotten Son to die for us on Calvary. And then it helps us develop the attribute of grace. Then there's opportunity for eternal investments. We looked at that. And then we got to remember that we can never outgive God. God's going to always outgive us. He says, go ahead and try. He says, but you're not going to outgive me. But today we're going to look at, what is the purpose for giving? Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 15, it says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only." What's he saying here? When he says communicated, he was talking about supporting him in the ministry. And then, so for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which ye were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So he's talking about giving, faith giving of the saints through the local church supports mission. So he was actually a missionary, and he's talking about the different places he was going. But the Philippians supported him just as we do as our missionaries as they go out onto the field, and they have many churches supporting them. So it gives us an opportunity. The purpose of giving is we give through the local church to support missions. See, not every believer is able to go onto the mission field, as its reality is not there. But we can send others out to the mission field. That's our, it gives us, and through giving to missions, through supporting missionaries, we have the ability to be part of that ministry and them out there winning souls. And as he says there in verse 17, it says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. What's he talking about? He's talking about our eternal account. When we participate in the ministry and we are part of the ministry, especially in giving to missions, we're part of that ministry. We're supporting them and we're supporting what they do. That's why we have to go through our missionaries and make sure they're like-minded. They're basically an extension of our church. We need to. That's why we go through and we support people that believe the same way we do, doctrinally. Because when we don't, then we're supporting things that we may not believe or agree with. So that's why we got to be careful who we support. But faith giving is of the saints through a local church supports missions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 9, it says, "And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. In all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself." So he was saying that the church from Macedonia supplied for his needs, so therefore when he was at Corinth, he wasn't a burden to them. He was there helping them in the ministry, but he was already taken care of financially. So it gives us an opportunity to support missions. Well, the second thing we see here is giving supports those within the church body who are unable to support themselves. Well, what am I talking about? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. In verse 1 it says, "In those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the twelve called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look at ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, in whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." This is where the first deacons started. The deacons were to be a help, basically a help to the pastor or those in the ministry, and they're the help, the daily ministration, the things, the needs of the church, or the needs to, as in this case, the widows that had nobody to care for them, and they had no family. And we're going to get into that a little more deeper here as we go into 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 deals with that very issue, and he talks about those who are widows indeed. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16 says, "If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed." So, and what's he saying? Well, there's some ladies or it could be a widower, which is a man, if they have family or if they have somebody that's able to help take care of them or they're supported, then the church does not have to take care of them or is not responsible to take care of them. But it says if they're widows indeed, that means they don't have nobody to take care of. They have nobody to help them. So therefore, the church is obligated, according to God's word, to help take care of their daily needs. You know, if they have stuff, cares around the house, if they have physical needs, that's what needs to be. See, we live in a society today where we have Social Security, and that's not a bad thing because people pay into it all their life, but it is a bad thing in the fact that the government has robbed from it. And again, I'm not going to get on all of the facets of that, but the whole purpose, if the church all along the way was doing what they should have been doing, we wouldn't have to pay into Social Security today because the church would take care of their own. The church would take care of the widows. The families would take care of their own. We wouldn't have nursing homes today because that was unheard of. But it's the way society has brainwashed families. That's how the church has degraded, in the simple fact that they're not taking care of their own like they ought to be. But the Bible tells us that we need to be taking care of those who are unable to take care of themselves. They're part of the family of God. So that's the purpose, giving support to those within the church body who are unable to support themselves, and those who do not have family to help them, as we see there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. So they need to be widows indeed. So the third thing we see here, why or what is the purpose of giving? It supports the leaders of the local church. And we see that there in verses 17 and 18. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the labor is worthy of his reward." So the Bible tells us that we need to support those who are the leaders, those who the pastor of the church, or those in leadership, if there's more than one position, or if the church is larger. Like in the time of Acts, they had the apostles. The church was very large, so they took care of those people. Because the laborer is worthy of his reward. There's a couple other scriptures we're going to look at here, and that is Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6. It says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." So the word communicate simply means to share with. And we just looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 7. But to communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. So they take care of the person who is called of God to preach the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 7, it says, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth the flock and eateth not the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, and saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers of the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. So the Bible clearly teaches that we need to support the God's man. We need to support those in authority. We're going to look at an Old Testament example. We're going to turn back to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 18. But these are principles that we need to live by as the body of Christ. And if we follow through with these things, God's going to bless the church. He's going to bless us. But 1 Kings chapter 18. We're familiar with this story, but it's a very good example. 1 Kings chapter 18. It's the story of Elijah, and I believe it's the widow of Nain. If I remember right. See if I can get the right scripture here. Starting in verse 8. No, maybe it's 2 Kings 18. I apologize. I wrote down the wrong thing here. Well, I apologize, man. I'm not exactly what happened here. 18. Okay, it's right. I was right the first time. I thought. Well, the story that I'm looking for, and I thought I wrote down the right reference. I was on the wrong page. I'm still having a hard time finding it, and I apologize for that. But it's the story of Elijah when he comes to the... God tells him to go, and there's a widow, and she has her son, and all she had was enough to make a cake, and had enough oil to make a cake for her and her son, and then she said we were going to die. But Elijah told her to make one for him first, because that's what God told him, to relate to her. He was the prophet of God, and she obeyed that, and they had enough to last 17:10. Oh, I was off. Oh, there it is. It was the widow of Zarephath. Okay. I don't know how I got that down wrong. The verses were off too. That's weird. So Elijah here in verse 8 of chapter 17, he says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. See, God can use anybody, saved or unsaved, it doesn't matter. Because why? Everything belongs to him. He has the ability. He uses, as through the Old Testament, as the Israelites were in the wilderness, he used their enemies to chasten them from time to time when they went astray. He allowed that. But here it says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. She arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruse. Behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went in and did according to the saying of Elijah. She and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. The principle that we're trying to get across here, the principle from the scriptures, is simply putting God first. If we put God first before ourselves, and we do as he tells us from the scriptures, he's going to bless us. He's going to. The same thing as Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and what? And his righteousness. Put him first, do right, and he's going to bless you. He tells us, he promises he's going to do that. So it supports the leaders of the local church, as we see there, the good principle from the Old Testament. See, also, giving supports the operation of the local church. It takes care of the bills. Because the utilities, materials, maintenance, etc. And we go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Chapter 8 and verse 4. It says, "Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift taken upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that is, there was a readiness to will, so that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased or ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be supplied for their want, and their abundance also may be supplied for your want, that there may be an equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So basically everybody's needs were taken care of. Some may have had more, some had less, but everybody was taken care of overall. So it takes care of the operation of the local church. See, there is, as we brought today, because of my forgetfulness, it's been sitting on my desk for a couple weeks, we brought the monthly statements for the church, for the expenses. That's our accountability. That's for everybody to see that belongs to the church. And we're accountable to how we spend the Lord's money. So that's why we have basically an open door policy, so to speak, is anytime anybody wants to question something, they have any right to look at the books, because we are accountable to each other. So therefore, that's in the giving of to the local church. It's God's money, not ours. That's why we have to agree on how we spend it. It's because it's not just one person deciding, it's multiple people. Everybody that's part of the body of Christ, of this local church. So there's an accountability. So simply, I took the word trust. This is the towards the end, we're going to look at this. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5 and 6, very familiar passage. I took the word trust and I wrote several words off it and put some scripture with some of it. And when we're giving as we ought to be, if we're giving as we ought to be, we're going to be trusting the Lord totally. We're going to have total trust in Him. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." But trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There needs to be total trust in Him. We see there in Psalm 118 verse 8, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." How many times have we put confidence in some man, and what happens? He ends up failing. But God never fails us. He is always found faithful according to the Scriptures. So we need to trust Him totally. We need to respond to His Word. We need to be ready, as in Acts chapter 17, in verse 11, we need to be ready to respond to God's Word, as they did as the... in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans, it says there, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. These were the Bereans. And we need to respond to His word. We need to trust Him totally. We need to respond to His word. Then, and then only then, can we be used of God. God will use us when we're being obedient to Him. And that kind of ties into the next thing, is we trust totally, we respond to His Word, we're used of God, but we have to have a submitted will. And then that's an emptying of ourselves. We need to get rid of our own desires and allow Him to take over. We need to be submitted to His will. And Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 31. He says, "I die daily." Let's look at also Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. Luke chapter 9 and verse 33. He says, and this is Jesus telling the test of discipleship. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." That's the first thing we have to do, deny self. "Take up his cross daily and follow me." And it also goes along with Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, "I am crucified with Christ." So when we die to self, we deny ourselves. We crucify ourselves with, then we can take up His cross daily and follow Him. And then he also says, not only in Galatians 2:20, where he talks about being crucified, but he also says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, "Take my yoke upon you, because my yoke is easy." And I'm paraphrasing. I'm not quoting it word for word. But the point being is, if we take on Christ's yoke, it's going to be easy. Why? Because He's carrying the load. He says, "My commandments," in 1 John, he says, "My commandments are not grievous." He's not asking us to do something we can't do. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do all things. So when we make the excuse to ourselves saying, "I can't," it's an excuse, because God says we can. And that's through Him, not our own strength, but Him. So we need to trust totally. We need to respond to His Word so we can be used of God. We have a submitted will, emptying of ourselves, But then it says in 1 Thessalonians, verses 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, he says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In everything give thanks. Chapter 5 and verse 18. Am I 1 Thessalonians? I'm in Timothy. I don't know why I did that again. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we need to. That's not an easy thing to do. He's saying, in everything, no matter if things are going wrong for us that day, we're having a bad day, we still need to give thanks. And if we're still standing, we still have breath, we need to be giving God thanks. Because that's what's necessary. See, giving, what is the purpose of giving? Well, we need to support missions. We need to support those who are unable to support themselves, the widows in the local church. We need to support the leaders of the local church, as we looked at from the scripture. We need to take care of the operation of the local church, and that's the utilities, the material, anything that's needed around here needs to be taken care of. That's the purpose of giving. That's why God, all the way back in the Old Testament, when they built the tabernacle, and they had the Levites, they were the chosen group. God chose them. It was the priests come through the tribe of Levite. And they didn't have no possessions. God did not allow them to. But they had certain cities set aside for them because they were being taken care of. See, God was taking care of the people that were in the ministration, so to speak, in the tabernacle and at that point. We don't see the local church until we get to the New Testament. And then the principle still is underlying there. It's still, we need to take care of the pastor. We need to take care of the local ministration. We need to take care of our widows, those in need. And it's not always widows. We might have a family in need. That's the purpose of why we give. So we see the next thing we're going to be looking at, and we're going to stop for today, is what should I give? What? We've seen why should we give, why I give, what is the purpose for giving. But the third thing we're going to look at, and we're going to look at this next week, what should I give? And we can preconceive in our own ideas, but it's not just physical things. There's more than that. But what should we give? See, before we consider giving anything, we must remember that we ourselves have been purchased by God with Christ's blood. We belong to Him. We need to realize, as we've seen earlier in our lesson, that God owns everything. He owns everything. He says He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He'll supply all of our needs. But we got to remember, as God's children, we are purchased with Christ's blood. We belong to Him. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He indwells us when we've trusted Him for salvation, and therefore we belong to Him. So what should I give? I'm going to leave that question in your mind for next week. Let's pray.